This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's going to be hard to argue with the logic of Kimmy here.
Oh, okay.
Even though, Tommy, you're going to hate
him. So
he's going to hate all of it, so it doesn't even really matter what day you pick.
But here's the thing. This will make his life easier.
Yeah.
What one neighborhood is doing in Irondequoit raises a very good question. Why have we decided the hardest holiday to decorate for was the one we were going to go all out? Mm-hmm. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Let's take a trip, Tommy.
Where are we going?
Summershire Drive.
Oh, Summershire.
Yep, off of St. Paul and Irondequoit.
Sounds very lovely. Picturesque.
Well, if you take a ride down that street, you will see a neighborhood that is in love with Halloween.
Oh.
Story on 10NBC this week shows the extreme lengths the people who live there go to one-up each other for the spookiest of all holidays.
Oh, crap it up lane.
Everybody decorates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a whole neighborhood just strewn with garbage.
Which I don't know if that exists anywhere else, Halloween-wise, where a whole neighborhood decides we're going to do this together.
Isn't it kind of overwhelming, though? Like, cause nothing that, well, because nothing, like, if you think you've got really cool stuff, and every other neighbor has it, like...
Yeah,
it
but
it kind of gets like buried.
Well, then it starts an arms race.
Yeah.
We're talking giant skeletons in graveyards, smoke machines and lights. This year, somebody put out an animatronic man digging a grave into their lawn.
Oh, man.
1 year, according to the story on Teddy
BC, they had an actual mob hit.
Someone had a live band playing on their roof while kids were trick or treating.
Come on.
Hand of God, man. Hand of God. Bad ass.
Yeah, man, who's that's pretty agent? Awesome. That's a party right there. It's party lane.
Tommy, you can get behind this, right?
No.
Why?
I hate this crap.
Why do you hate fun and
joy?
It's
just ugly. I get it if you have little kids, but it's just ugly.
Well, it's all for the kids.
Yeah.
And even the kids, you know, take them to the park.
Even the kids, take them to the park.
Take them to the farm.
Yeah, we talked about this. That costs $300.
What do you think all this costs in your yard?
Don't cost me nothing to drive down the street and
watch
it.
No, but these guys, these jamokes that put this stuff on, they got to have 10G in this stuff.
Oh, for God, I love how you just make up a number.
You know, you got a full set. And by the way,
full set.
I didn't even want to see what the electric bill is. I mean, RG&E's got to be playing with themselves watching these idiots.
It's only we started about the water department.
They're all hitting their bonuses this year. They're all going to be vacationing in Honolulu based on your lights.
So the guy I call at RG&E gets a bonus based on how much electricity I use?
You don't think?
Is that why he keeps me on the phone
more
for so
juice,
long?
You get the juice too, baby.
Shut.
It's a juicy juice kickback.
Well, your mom was there, all juicy juice? Kimmy.
Yeah.
You saw this story.
But she loves it. And by the way, woman who doesn't decorate. You ain't got one goddamn mum in that house, and all of a sudden you're mislighted up.
Could you have said more of a bitchy thing than you ain't
you
got
You don't
one
even have any mums.
You ain't got a mum.
You have a beautiful porch undecorated.
How do you know?
How about you practice mum for a second while I ask Kimmy a question? How about that? Kimmy, you saw this story on 10NBC and you had a realization.
Yeah, what are you saying?
I thought...
Yeah, what are you saying?
Because we see neighborhoods, you know, they do this for like the holidays, right? Yeah. Like a whole neighborhood will get together for the most part and a bunch of houses will go all out with Christmas lights.
You mean for like Christmas,
stuff.
Hanukkah,
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. But I'm like, why are we doing that with Christmas and not with Halloween? Like, if you're going to pick a holiday to go all out for, especially in a neighborhood, pick Halloween. Like, that's way more fun. You got people walking around. The weather is still mild enough where you
I
can
like that.
Get outside, walk around, and enjoy it. The kids will get a big kick out of it. Like, I'm thinking as a kid, like, sure, it was fun to see Christmas lights out your car window. But if I get to actually interact with all the stuff and other kids are... You know, walking around with me, like that's 10 times more fun than the neighborhood holiday lights.
All right, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. This is the smartest thing Kimmy's ever said. And I think we could take Kimmy's argument even further. If we're going to pick a holiday to go really big on and do massive decorations, Halloween over Christmas makes sense.
So I would be all in on that if I could not do Christmas.
Well, that's I
guess, I could blow off Christmas.
That's kind of my point. Like,
because right now I got to do both.
Because most likely you're going to, if a neighborhood's going all out, they're going to pick one holiday. And I'm saying if you're going to pick a holiday, make it Halloween.
Say what?
What do you do for Halloween?
Everything. She's got the front and the backyard decorated with floodlights.
Wow.
You asked me what I do.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. Why don't you pay mortgage?
Man, those kids in your neighborhood must get a real kick out of those floodlights.
But she makes me do it. If I could bail, you don't get to bail on one.
Says who? No, what, you're not putting up enough effort in Halloween. One, it's easier to put up and take decorations down during Halloween.
It is.
The weather is nice because your biggest bitch about putting up your wife's Christmas decorations is the ice and snow.
Right.
And for some reason, we've decided as a society that getting on a ladder in January is a good idea.
Because they want us to die.
Okay. So you don't have to worry about that doing it in October.
So you think she's going to let you bail on Christmas?
Yes, and here's why. Reason
there ain't
two.
No.
Reason?
Where's that woman?
Reason two. There is so much more to do when it comes to Halloween decorations.
You get real creative.
You got movies, you got ghost stories, you got costumes.
It's unlimited.
It's a kid's holiday.
It's cozy.
Like Kimmy said, it's more fun for them, right? Christmas decorations are pretty standard. Sure, there are folks that go big with the lights and things, but most of the time, it's just lights. Maybe there's a blow-up thing or
Bro,
two.
Bro, they got those inflatables now.
That's what I just
Snoopy
said.
Snoopy coming out of the doghouse.
I mean, there's some cool stuff people do for Christmas lights, but it's usually like maybe one or two houses that you remember.
By the way, there's a whole neighborhood that does Christmas, and I think it's in Irondequoit, too, where they
it
also...
It is. Irondequoit big on the holidays.
They do the whole Christmas jackassery.
But it's just lights. It's always just lights. Yeah. Maybe there's a blow-up thing or two. Like,
well, there's no spooky, you know, Christmas house.
It's not even a
spooky Christmas
house, which I think
the
is
the manger.
It's a Hallmark movie this year, Spooky Christmas.
He's the son of God. You're going to burn in hell.
But I mean, but you bring up the third reason why this makes more sense, Halloween over Christmas decoration. Halloween isn't religious, meaning more people can participate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Christmas is a religious holiday, and I know you don't have to be Christian to celebrate Christmas, but like, at its core... Christmas is religion.
Yeah, there are a lot of other people celebrating different things.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Where Halloween, it's like kind of an American holiday,
it is,
right?
Kinda,
right?
You can make it what you want.
Exactly.
You know?
It is what it is. I would guess.
All right, so we guess Christmas, and we just keep Halloween.
I mean, look, put up a string of lights or two, but it makes more sense.
No. It's one or the other,
oh,
because
really?
It's you give my wife a string of lights.
Uh-huh.
She's gonna run them around the house, bro.
I want to point out, you just mocked me for not having a mum or not decorating, but you're now saying no wreaths, no garland, no nothing. Keep it all away.
Right.
No lights.
One or the other.
I don't know.
So
what
you'd rather do spooky?
Oh, yeah.
Whole yard full of
based
stuff.
Based on the weather.
Okay.
Because the worst part about the lights.
Mm-hmm.
Is taking them down.
Well, you got to take all this stuff down too.
Yeah,
but at least I'm not taking them down in the ice and snow when it's like. February when the winds are whipping.
252 WCMF.
Sound like a Gordon Lightfoot song.
The wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald with skeletons, which I guess it also had skeletons. 252 WCMF, 252-9263. Again, a story on 10 NBC. Somershire Drive off of St. Paul and Irondequoit. They are profiled. They go extreme for Halloween.
The whole neighborhood.
Whole neighborhood goes. It's like movie quality stuff in all of these yards. And Kimmy's argument is, why are we not going all in for Halloween decorating and pulling back on the Christmas stuff?
I think I know why, though. Because the number one complaint from people during Halloween, especially, do these kids even live in my neighborhood? I got to buy candy for kids in other places, too. You don't even go here. You don't live here. And that's what's going to show up when you go all out for Halloween. Like, kids from everywhere are going to be walking down your street.
So Kimmy's right. There actually is a number in the story, and I know the story up, but they said they had thousands of trick-or-treaters in their neighborhood last year.
You know, but if you're going that all out, I would think you'd welcome that.
I'm
right?
with you. I agree.
What
with
do these
there.
People spend then on candy?
A lot?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's to bring joy to these kids.
You're going to be broke. Good luck trying to retire.
Okay, I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again.
I'm on a fixed income. I ain't got you Snicker bar.
Fixed income? You ain't paying for nowhere to live.
Bro, I'm still busted. You know I'm busted.
Look, man, I don't know why this. You don't get this through your head. If you trick-or-treated as a kid, or
I
you
did.
Had kids that trick-or-treated, right? Or you have grandkids that will be trick-or-treating.
No.
You owe it to the universe to continue that and make it better for the next group of kids. Like, I don't get these dicks that are like, yeah, I got free candy. My kids got free candy, but I'm turning off the light because I don't want to deal with these kids. They even go in my neighborhood. Shut up. Like, you're the chintziest ass, bitch ass chintzes. Just make it's for the kids. It make them happy.
But
let them be
is
kids.
Enough.
Shut up.
And by the way, when I trick-or-treated, that's all we had. And we didn't have 1,000 different kind of candy bars and 50 television channels, and I could watch everything on my phone.
Had a boat,
all
man.
I had was a Reese cup.
Wait, was it hard to take them on your boat and only eat those?
You can't bring any food on the boat.
Or with your slot car set, or your G.I. Joes that you had, or your private schools that your dad shipped you off to, where you lived at the school.
Yeah, think of how much candy your dad could have bought if he didn't send you to private school.
He would have bought it on a booze and bruds.
So after Christmas and Halloween, are we out of holidays to decorate for?
It is weird when I see people putting up like Valentine's Day stuff
or
Easter stuff. It looks lame.
I do see the Easter springtime decor.
But it falls flat.
But it's not as like flashy.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of blow up Easter stuff. I guess you couldn't really have like an appropriate blow up Easter thing.
What about the bunny, not Jesus?
Well, no, but I mean.
Blowing up Christ on a cross.
Crosses in your yard might look a little creepy.
Yeah, that would be weird.
It's an inflatable execution.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what I mean. Like, that's why you don't see it. I haven't seen the blow up bunny. Have you guys seen the blow up
bunny? No, but I've seen like the big eggs they put in their yard and stuff like that light up. But it looks lame.
And then Thanksgiving is just a chore on its own.
I've never seen anybody.
The Christmas starts during that time. Yeah.
Yeah, you're completely leapfrogging Thanksgiving.
You know, I have found it is interesting. Like, there are neighborhoods that'll go all out for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I have seen, we started seeing some like blow up and light stuff for Hanukkah and like stuff like that. But you don't see like over the top Hanukkah light display.
Well, it's menorah.
No.
That's it.
No, but I mean, there's the menorah. You can do the Star of David. There's a bunch. You can do blue and white lights, right?
Like, it's mostly a blue theme.
No, but I understand. I'm saying you could go over the top. I've just never seen a house that went over the top. And I can't figure out why. Because like, if the blow up stuff for Hanukkah exists, which it does, why would there not be a house that's like, you know what, we're going super Hanukkah?
Well, but think of how
two menorahs.
Well, think of how crazy like the whole Santa Claus story is, and how like how much comes with that. I mean, there's just a lot more to do. I mean, people literally put like Santa coming out of their chimney.
Yeah, but you can do like a big dreidel. Look,
I've seen their blow up. Dreidels and menorahs and stuff. That would really be. I'm trying to think of how far you could take that.
It's just strange because, like, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there were like, you know, spooky, scary things, but it was like, you know, a spider that you knocked at the door and it was like, bah! And it just shook. Like, out of nowhere, Halloween just exploded.
People are building their own stuff.
There's that pirate ship out in Chi-Lai every year.
Oh, is that the Halloween guy?
Yeah.
Like, think of how much that one house draws. Imagine if all of his neighbors wanted to participate, too.
I got so much respect for those people, man. Good for you, making those kids smile.
I know. Come on. And by the way, it's self-indulgent.
So what?
They do it to flash.
Even if they do.
But they're not doing it for the kids.
He also raises money for charity.
He does raise money for charity.
Hey,
no, I understand. No, you don't, because I actually said that before you started going on your rant.
But you also want to get on TV.
So what?
Okay, but you deserve to be on TV when you put that much work into it.
Candy cannon.
I love this idea that because even, and we don't know this for sure, even if his intentions weren't. Yeah, we're all ego. So what? The kids still get to enjoy it. The money still goes to charity.
It is, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yes.
I'm saying so. Yes.
Okay. If you want a unique experience for Halloween decorations,
where do I go?
Well, you can go take a ride down Somershire Drive off of St. Paul in Irondequoit and check out what they're doing out there. I mean, they put all the work in. Yeah. Why not?
By the way, go down there afterwards. Watch how pissed off they are trying to put all that stuff away.
Mm-hmm. Says man who will be taking down 40-year-old reindeer from his backyard.
I want that thing to die. It doesn't die.
I know how you feel. I know how you feel.
But old things that don't die?
Just doesn't die.
I know. Chaps your ass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is a political story.
Oh.
But it's more about men. Guys being tough.
All right.
Imposing your will, but subtly. Classless guys throw a punch, Tommy.
Mm.
Real gentlemen know how to intimidate their adversaries in other ways.
Okay.
And I want you to keep that in mind.
Mm.
As we tell you how a handshake between a politician and another powerful man in a village now has one of them in handcuffs.
Wow.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Now, this story comes to us from south of us. And we don't usually talk about Bath, New York.
Yeah.
But this story is too good to pass up.
So we went down to Bath.
Monday night, there was a village board meeting. A 71-year-old village justice, you know, town judge out there, his name is Robert Plaskoff, initiated a handshake with the Bath Chief of Police, Colin Taft.
All right, no big deal, right? Couple of guys shaking hands.
You got it. So
cats.
Town justice going to shake the hand of the Bath Police Chief.
What happened?
Well, the handshake started just fine.
Yeah.
Ended in chaos.
That's what all over a handshake.
According to authorities, the 71-year-old town justice refused to release his grip from the handshake.
Oh, no.
Witnesses say he squeezed the police chief's hand and then pulled him forward, which caused the police chief to stumble and hit his shin on a chair, which, according to the Finger Lakes Daily News, caused him pain.
Okay.
This is like a handshake standoff.
It's a handshake assault.
It is. Yeah. No, that's actually what it is. The police chief had to use nearby chairs to brace himself to keep from completely falling off of the stage.
What a dick.
When the dust settled, the police chief, the victim of said handshake, arrested the town justice on a harassment charge.
So he slapped the cuffs right on the handshake.
You got it. The justice now has an appearance ticket to appear in the same village court in which he works. Let's hope he doesn't have to preside over his own case.
How does that work?
There's another justice that will preside over the case.
But what an idiot.
I'm sure there won't be a conflict of interest.
But you know how this all works.
He was aggressive with the handshake. Too aggressive with the handshake.
Mm.
Bath Police Department, they say the incident happened in front of a room full of people, and all of it was captured on video. And this entire saga is because of a handshake.
Mm.
God, you gotta love politics.
Yeah, trying to be a tough guy.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. How do you intimidate another man without getting in trouble?
Mm.
The handshake was the go-to, right?
Yeah, until this guy ruined it, yes.
But, like, if you're going to do
Firm handshake.
Okay, for aggressive, firm, you keep eye contact, you pull them into you. Mm. It backfired on this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He came
in
too strong. Also, he's 71. How strong could that handshake have been? 71-year-old man. Do you think the aggressive, strong, firm handshake actually works to intimidate other men?
I guess it could.
Does it intimidate you?
No, I always just felt like you were a dick and a bully.
Okay.
And you probably think you're giving them just as hard of a handshake, you know what I mean? Just as firm of a handshake. So I feel like both people might think they won that battle.
So we had a guy that used to work here. He was big on the handshake.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd always shake your hand. Like, I see you every day. Like, he'd walk in the room and shake your hand. Like, just sit down. You're on the air with us. And he'd be like, that's not a good shake. And so we would purposely hand him a dead fish just to piss him off. Because he would call you out if he didn't like your handshake.
See, I did the opposite. I came in hard and I tried to sprain his thumb every time. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Every single time. I was taking that thumb out of the joint.
But you're not scaring anybody, man. Especially that dude.
But here's the thing. Maybe you're a better man than I am. Because if somebody's coming at me with an aggressive handshake, I am going to as aggressive, if not more. I'm not letting you have that, man.
Oh, I'll Bob Dole him every time.
Bob Dole? Kimmy does not get that joke.
I don't get the handshake reference. To Bob Dole.
He was...
Call yourself an American?
Yes, he is part of... he was a POW,
right.
And he
one
had...
One of the most decorated heroes of World War II, and became a senator out of Kansas.
Well, yes, I know who he is.
As part of it, his hand was permanently damaged. So, like, every picture you see Bob Dole after he got back, he's holding a pen to distract from the fact that his hand did not function.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't shake hands because of it.
Exactly, yes. All right, so if the aggressive handshake does not work to intimidate men, 252-WCMF, what other ways can you let a guy know, I am bigger than you, and you need to take me seriously?
So some guys just have an aggressive, macho demeanor,
okay,
how they present themselves, And they say one of the guys that's really good at it is Vladimir Putin.
The Russian president,
right,
or whatever.
And he's a little dude. Mm-hmm. But the way he stands and the way he sits, the way he leans in conversations, he tries to always intimidate you how he just is.
How do you stand intimidatingly?
You'd have to ask him. Okay. But if you watch him, he's very, he's almost like at attention.
Okay.
But squared off on you.
Okay. So
he could throw a punch at any minute.
Like this? Am I doing?
Yeah. Something like that.
If you're watching the live stream, I'm giving you great tips right now on how to intimidate
him. Like he even did it to like female leaders. So I think it was Angela Merkel of Germany.
Yeah.
Like he knew he had to have a meeting with her and he knew that she was completely scared of large dogs. So when they sat down in the palace wherever he's at, he squares off on her with his legs open, leaning forward, and then he has these two gigantic like dogs come in and sit with him just to intimidate her.
Okay. But now you needed props, right? I mean, the dogs are props.
Yeah, that's one step. Really,
yeah, but I'm saying like that, he's that kind of guy. He does it without doing anything, really.
Okay.
Just being there.
Can I ask a question without being a dick? I'm being sincere when I ask this question. Mm. So I've always been a big person.
Yeah.
I'm 6'3", well-built, handsome. It's not hard for me to walk into a room and get attention.
Unless there's other big people in the room.
Well, that's just it, but it's rare, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, how does a smaller guy do that?
To intimidate people? Your hand gestures, the way your placement of your legs, things of that nature.
Do you even attempt to be subtly intimidating?
No, I'm serious. No, I never think about it.
You don't think? Come on, man. You're a petty man, just like I am.
Yeah, but I'm small.
I do think you give off. You're trying to give off a certain look. I mean, you do pay a lot of attention to your clothes. You want to look sharp.
Oh yeah, that looks tough, right?
No, but
Mod Squad over here.
Maybe not so much tough, but you do want to look important, right? That's why you dress like that.
Nailed it too. He's one of the dogs.
You're trying something, and I don't know what it is.
No, but like, look, you're petty. You can be aggressive.
I'm arrogant.
You are very arrogant. So, like, what are you doing subconsciously when you walk into a room to try and intimidate other men? Because you do try to do it.
I'm snarky.
Okay, so it's your snark.
I'm a wise ass. Yeah. I'm a snark.
Yeah, the first thing you do is comment on something they're wearing.
Yeah, I make fun of people.
So you try and destroy their souls.
I try to get it out there quickly.
He's going to get you with his words, not his hands.
Okay, but here's the problem with that. And again, we're talking about this story. What got us here, a town or village meeting in Bath, 71-year-old village justice and the chief of police out there, the two had a handshake. The 71-year-old, according to police, would not release the handshake. He went to pull in the chief of police. He pulled him down, caused him to hit his shin on a chair. He had to brace himself on the other chairs to keep himself from like falling off the stage. That same police chief, the victim of the handshake, placed the 71-year-old village justice under arrest. He's got a court date coming up in the very court that he presides.
Somebody else is going to be in his chair.
But that intimidating move got him into trouble. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem with the snarkiness, and I see you guys on hold. Sit tight for a second.
Yeah.
I have the ability, if I come in with a firm handshake or a powerful stance, or I'm going to get louder than you, to be like, oh, I'm just being me. If you come in and immediately insult another man, you are being the dick. You have fired the first shot, right? It's not as subtle.
True. That's true.
So it's a problem.
Well, it's a problem that, that nature dealt me. What am I going to do?
Okay, look.
I can put in lifts.
You know,
I get another quarter inch.
Kimmy, your husband's a big man. Do you notice the things he does to try and be the, I guess, how do I?
Alpha male.
I mean, yeah, but I hate that term.
But that's kind of what you're saying. You're trying to be the biggest dog in the room.
No, but anytime I hear someone say, I'm an alpha male, it lets me know everything I need to know about what that guy is lacking in his life, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know, because he doesn't ever look like he's trying too hard, and maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Oh,
like
quiet confidence.
Yeah, I think there's like a quiet confidence there. Yeah, I don't know. I guess if he is doing something specific, I've never noticed. But I think to your point, that kind of comes with being a bigger person.
Like
maybe he doesn't feel as intimidating, like intimidated by a room, so he doesn't feel like he has to really project.
It could be your facial expression too when you walk into a room. Not that.
Hold
on. You look like you got something in your eyes.
I'm tough. Alpha male. Ah!
No, but if you have if you're a big guy with a very serious look on your face.
Okay.
That could do it right there without saying a goddamn word.
Okay.
I also find...
Like a coach. Like those coaches when they're pissed off at the team.
But again...
How they put that coach face on. They're not even talking yet.
But like, they're like that coach face doesn't even... Like, I know you're trying to hide... Can I tell you a quick story that I just heard?
Well, everything...
Day?
All this stuff, you're trying to hide something.
Well, no, but there are some things that will just... That you will subconsciously put you off. Like, if you're trying to act tough, I think it has the opposite effect.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, okay, do you know who Mike Keenan is?
How do I know that?
He was an aggressive dick of a head coach in the NHL.
Okay.
Do you know who Alexander Mogilny is?
No.
He played for the Buffalo Sabres.
He's over in, with Putin.
He
with
was the
dogs.
First defector from the USSR to play in the NHL
in
the
90s.
And they snuck him out past the Iron Curtain in the trunk of a car.
Yeah.
After he got here, they threatened to kill his family if he didn't come back, all this stuff. So Mike Keenan is doing exactly what you're describing with the Vancouver Canucks. And he's in his face and blah, 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 blah. And Mogilny, who barely spoke, looked at him and said, "Do you think you're intimidating me? They threatened to kill my family.
Right.
You look like a clown."
Oh.
So, like, I mean, if you have actual, like, scary stuff in your background, you yelling at me and making a face, that ain't going to do nothing.
Well, he picked the wrong guy.
There's also this weird thing that happens, too, which I think makes both people look small, because one doesn't want to be the first to approach the other. So there's that weird, like, tension in the room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it kind of makes both of them look like cowards.
Except the other guy's a
bigger though they're both trying to look like the more tough person, because, well, I'm not going to say hi to him. Mm. He's got to come say hi to me first. He's going to approach me because I'm the more important person in the room.
I demand respect.
It is funny when you do watch a guy come into a room that is pissed off and wants respect in a room and doesn't get it and he has no out plan is priceless.
Like when they come in all blustery, like slowly come down and they just leave. It's the greatest thing in the world.
It's just watching a flame slowly die.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Subtle intimidation.
Mm.
How do you show another man you're the man?
Ooh.
Let's talk to Party Boat Mark. Hey, Mark, how you been, buddy?
We'll pull up in a boat.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Yay, yay, yay.
So, this sheriff, what a puss this guy is. The general thing to do when you're a man and you get pulled in with the heavy handshake is to push and then pull back.
Okay, so here's the
thing,
Mark.
You don't arrest the guy.
I did see the video. This guy was under no... I thought he just thought this was like a regular interaction. I got to admit.
He got broadsided.
Granted, the 71-year-old...
pulled off balance.
Yes, when I first saw the story, too, I kind of thought the same thing you did until I saw the video, and I was like, oh, my God.
I didn't get a bunch of people are watching this go down.
It's in a town board
meeting. Right, so he's got to be cool here.
All right, so wait. Explain the pullback, Mark. Explain what you mean.
So when someone pulls you in like aggressively,
okay,
then you pull them in and you kind of do the push pull back.
So yeah, you're doing like a lumberjack thing here,
and then you kiss each other on the lips. Yeah. Like that's how you end it, right?
I guess.
And then you say, "No, I'm tougher than you. You're not tougher than me." you don't arrest the guy. And if it goes to fist, it goes to fist.
You gotta get a fist fight over a handshake.
Whatever happens, happens.
I have gone to fists over a handshake.
No, you have not in real life.
I have one time, yes, that's a long time ago. But yeah, it happened.
What are you doing?
Worst party boat day ever.
All right, Mark, outside of the handshake, how do you think you subtly intimidate men when you need to pull that card?
I mean, I don't know. I try not to play the tough guy role. It's not, I don't know. I don't need to.
Puss.
I love guys like that too. I don't need to play the tough guy card. You know why? Because I am tough. Because you look at me and you know.
A lion doesn't need to grow on telling people it's a lion.
That's right. I'm not from Brooklyn, but I talk like this for some reason. Mark, great to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. There goes Mark. Fist fighting, handshake.
Yeah.
Party boat steering.
252-WCMF, one of the most aggressive men we know.
Who's that?
Let's talk to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how are you, buddy?
I do want to tell a story of intimidation, but this does remind me of the historical time that a shark was, it was terrorizing Amity, and Chief Brody and Hooper had to go down to see the fishermen. And the fisherman grabs his hands. He says, "What are you doing? You're not working for a living. You got steady hands counting money all your life." Anyways, you know exactly where that handshake came from. It came from that movie. This guy said, I'm gonna, you know, quint this guy.
Quince this guy. That's a perfect. By the way, Kimmy is not getting any of the references in this break. Bob Dole, Mike Keenan, Alexander Mogilny, or Jaws. But go on, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
The most intimidated I've ever been in my life is the most it's a situation that you wouldn't think it was. Here I am, a young guy, cooking in a kitchen, thinking I'm all big and tough, and I overhear this Lebanese woman talking about when she lived in Lebanon that the Hezbollah people pulled her brother out of the house, interrogated him for 30 seconds, and shot him on the street.
Okay.
I have never been so scared in my entire life, and nobody was trying to intimidate me. It was one of those times where you're like, I'm nothing in this world. I'm absolutely nothing. And I kind of tucked my tail between my legs, kept my mouth shut for the rest of the day, and just went home.
Hey, how did that conversation start where she got to that?
Well, I mean,
at work.
These things happen.
Because,
are we at onions?
Because
Let me tell you about onions.
Because I worked with a bunch of Lebanese people at the time, and they were sharing mutual stories.
No, you bring up a really good point, Jeremy.
Yeah, you can't one up anybody in that room.
Well, it's not even one up. Like, you know, like we all like to think that we're tough, and we all want to imagine that we walk in a room, people are like, wow. But like touching on the thing we kind of brought up before, so many people have these things that they don't talk about, right? Mm. And when you find out that they have a background that is actually scary, you realize there's nothing you can do to intimidate most people because today is not even close to the worst day of their lives.
So don't ask them how it's going.
Right? Yeah. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
Probably not. Yes. Jeremy.
And I was...
sorry, go ahead, buddy.
One more thing.
Yeah, sure.
I was intimidated by my grandfather when I was a kid. He was about...
He's from Lebanon?
Four. No, shut up, stupid. He was about 5'4",
maybe
130 pounds. These striking blue eyes and these giant, you know, maintenance guy hands who would just kill you. And all he had to do was look at you and you're like, all right, I'm shutting up now.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyways,
man. Jeremy,
see you, Dick.
See you, buddy. Take care. You know, he brings up a good point. Like, we talk about size and, like, little versus big, and I ask you that question. You know, I still do the boxing thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And my boxing coach is the same guy I've known since I was 13 when I first started boxing. His name's Dom, right? He is shorter than you.
Yeah.
5'3", 5'4". I'm not kidding. He's barrel-chested, very gentle, very quiet, very kind, very introspective. Mm. And he is the scariest man I've ever met in my life. I am so intimidated by this guy, only because I know if push came to shove, he could murder me.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He never would, right? But there is something about his quiet confidence and the fact that he doesn't need to look tough that scares me.
Yeah, and he's a boxing coach, you know.
But it's even past that. Just like the look that he has and the fact that he is... Here's what it is.
Mm.
He's so tough... He has to act gentle.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Got to balance it out.
Yes. There's something about like an intimidating man that is soft-spoken and kind that can also be intimidating.
The quiet man.
You've always got to be afraid of the quiet types.
That was John Wayne, buddy. It was an actual movie it was in called The Quiet Man. That was his demeanor.
Okay, I understand. I've seen interviews with him. That doesn't really describe
Bro, the guy
John
was
Wayne.
At D-Day and Iwo Jima. How'd you do that?
Kimmy also didn't get that joke.
On the same calendar year.
I was just gonna touch on something really quick.
Sure.
That actually Mark brought up about you know wherever the handshake goes, it goes, whether it comes to blows or what. Could you imagine having to tell somebody like you got beat up because a handshake went too far? Like
As
that's a story
man.
You'd have to tell somebody someday.
Grown ass man.
If you're willing to fight over a handshake.
Well, he's too firm in his handshakes. I punched him in the face.
This man deserves it.
He deserves it.
Well, he does a great job. He's very fun, friendly. Everyone likes to watch him.
Okay.
Right? So
good for him.
And this is great news for you, too.
Oh, it is.
Well, based on the timeline, you're only like 6 years away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hanging out in the break room. That's just Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. We'll jump right into it. A big congratulations to our friend.
Yeah.
Sports director at 13 Wham, legendary broadcaster, Mike Catalano.
Wow.
Yesterday,
what'd he get?
He was inducted into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
So they had a big ceremony and everything.
Yep.
Luncheon.
Yep, went downstate. Doug and Don went down. And it was covered by our good buddy Dan Hot Takes Chesty Fates.
Wait, so the guys aren't even there anymore went down.
Yeah, they went down. And Jenna Cottrell, they were there doing stories covering what happened. It was a really nice looking ceremony. And
well, slow news day, too. You know, World Series isn't heating up yet.
Yeah.
There's Monday Night Football's over. So, yeah, throw the kid a bone.
Little window
we'll
there.
We'll give you a Tuesday in Manhattan. That's what it really Manhattan really pops on a Tuesday.
A dozen Catalanas there.
Tuesday in New York.
He did give a speech. So 37 years on 13 Wham. It was a great honor. And he did say in his speech yesterday, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be on the air every night, despite all of the calls from their viewers to get him the hell off. That last part, okay.
So he's been there 37 years.
37 years. And we can actually use this to figure out when a great honor is coming for a friend of ours, Kimmy.
Yeah.
Tommy, you've been on the air on WCMF for 31
years.
Been
in the game a long time.
Yeah. They call him the Mike Catalana of that chair. Based on Mike's timeline, you only have 6 more years you're inducted in the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
So what is the criteria for getting into the Hall of Fame?
Can we Google that?
What do you have to hit?
I don't think you have to be nominated. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, someone's got to nominate you. And that should be fine. Yeah, no, I mean, look, you've made so many friends in this business. That's
what we're talking about.
Every break we've had this morning, you've told the story of someone we used to work with here who sucked and hated you.
Not really.
Every single break.
So I'm never getting in.
Well, no. I mean, if 37 years get you in, you're 6 years away.
Yeah, but my contract's not that long.
Seems like it's pretty
wide open.
Pretty wide open. So a nominee must have worked for a broadcast entity to be considered.
Check.
Okay.
Candidates are judged to have made a significant contribution to the broadcast industry in New York State.
I've been sued 3 times.
Okay. And he says he holds up 2 fingers. Does he have to know math?
No, apparently you don't.
In doing so, they are judged to have distinguished themselves from their New York peers.
I mean, there's no one else like Tommy. That's 3.
Okay.
Why would you not get in?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can make an argument.
So, does it bother you? And I'm asking seriously. Does it bother you that everyone else around you has gotten multiple major awards and you've gotten none?
No. Let them have it.
No.
Suck ups.
Because, like, if we go down the list.
Ass mops.
Like, Wheeze is decorated. Like, what Hall of Fame is he not in? He's in the Hall of Fame of Hall of Fames. That's how many Hall of Fames he's in.
Is he in the New York State broadcast?
Yes. He's been in that for about 10 years.
No kidding.
Yeah. So we went to the Hall of Fame induction here in Rochester for Kano. That was very nice.
Yeah.
Spisano, Tony Infantino, Sandy Waters, Terry Clifford. I mean, I don't know if they're in this Hall of Fame, but they all reside in some kind of Hall of Fame.
Some of these guys are, like, in their college.
Hall of Fame.
Doesn't Fisher has one?
Fisher's
right?
got one. Brockport's got one. I would assume Naz has one.
I'm
right?
sure Syracuse.
So, like, if you go down the list, right? Like Wheeze, Kano, Spisano, Tony Infantino, Sandy Waters, Terry Clifford, your contemporaries, right? All of them have these major honors.
Yeah.
And then there's you. Does that get to you at all?
Well, I would think because of, you know, my body of foulness and my ability not to be able to read or write should get me in.
Okay.
Would they induct a functional illiterate to the broadcasting hall?
You don't have to
hall
pass a test or anything to get in.
No, but like, they wouldn't even know. They would
They're not going to look at your high school grades. Like, well, you know.
But they would.
Bro,
no, Wheeze, I don't think so.
Wheeze is in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, try that again. Like, here's what I love about this. And again, congrats. All right. We're talking about Mike Catalana, 13 Wham. Inducted into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame yesterday. Big congratulations to him. You tend to do this thing.
What's that?
And you're doing it right now, like, subtly.
What's that?
You know, my foul language, you like to, like, you use that as, like,
I'm Sicilian, they don't like Sicilian.
That's the barrier keeping you out, not the fact that you suck at your job. If I was more clean, I'd absolutely be
Totally,
man, all the contributions I've made to the broadcasting community. Shut up.
So I'm never getting in.
Okay, because, bro, you do like to play if you listen to this. Of course you're not getting in, stupid. None of us are getting in. What are you, out of your mind?
Well, Kimmy could get in.
For what?
I think I have quite a ways to go.
Well, I mean, you'd have to put in your time, like myself.
I love Kimmy. What is Kimmy getting into the Hall of Fame for?
She's good at her job.
Producing filth.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I heard filth is the one barrier that keeps you out.
Oh, but you are Sicilian. You're screwed.
Oh, for God's sakes, with this anti-Italian. What are you
talking
about?
Bro, so anti-Italian.
The guy's name is Marconi. They name the award for
you
best.
You got 2.
The award for best radio personality annually is named the Marconi Award.
You know they hung him in World War II.
For God's sakes,
no,
man.
It was Mussolini.
For God's sakes. So it doesn't bother you?
Not only when you bring it up.
You can't tell me you don't think about this when you see Mikey get his award last night.
I did kind of laugh a little bit.
Okay. No,
I
mean,
I also know what a wise ass he is. Like, he's trying to play all nice, but his fancy suit, and he's playing all polite. But I also know, I've seen him jerking around on his bicycle through Pittsburgh running his mouth.
Why would that disqualify you from being
what
a
he does
Hall
in his free time?
Because I know he's
job.
A wise ass.
But he's good at it. You could be a wise ass.
He's very good at his job. 13 Nails Sports.
There are probably a lot of dicks that get these types of awards.
Only dicks in broadcasting get these awards.
Yeah, there's only dicks in broadcasting.
Right? I mean, name me like a quality human being outside of Terry Clifford and Scott, Antonio Fittito, and Sandy.
Other than that's all you got.
You know, you could campaign for yourself.
No, that's the weakest thing you can
but
do.
You want
I wonder
it.
How many people nominate themselves, though.
Oh, there's a few. We know a few.
But see, that's what's so funny. Is like you obviously want
signed anonymous.
You obviously want it, and that's fine. If you think you deserve it, you should go get it. I just find it weird. Like, you draw this line of, I feel disrespected, I want this honor, yet I won't say it out loud. What is the deal?
Because you look like a jerk.
But you want
but
it.
We know that you have an outfit saved in your closet for when something like this happens.
And they're going to end up burying you in it. Going into the Hall of Fame is 6 feet under. Like, why, if you could admit you want it, is it strange to campaign for yourself?
Because it looks, because you don't deserve it.
Since who?
If you have to ask, you don't deserve.
We're in the middle of election season. Every single politician is walking around asking people to vote
and
for them.
None of them deserve it, Pat. That's different, man.
How so?
That's how politics works. You have to get out and campaign. But this campaign for yourself, and it's just an award. You're not looking to get a job there. You're not looking to make a difference. You're basically going, hey, I got to do this thing I loved for 37 years that I'd probably do for free.
Okay.
Please give me an award on top of that.
But you were good at it.
But you don't deserve it.
The best advocate is yourself. Write that down. Well, you can't because you're functionally illiterate. Yeah. I'm sorry, Kimmy. What were you going to say?
Can you write
I was just going to – I was wondering if like, do you get, like, a spot on a wall somewhere? Do you get a plaque? Do you get, like, a statue of your head?
They write your name in marker on the walls of Penn Station.
So, no, we talked about this because there isn't really a Hall of Fame
like
football.
Like, if I'm – because I, you know
– I think it really doesn't exist anywhere.
Can you go walk around and, like
– I don't think so. I think it's, like, in cyber world.
We've now reached the final point of Tommy no awards grieving.
Like, there's no Cooperstown for douchebags.
He starts with making fun of the person who gets it. Mm. He then says it doesn't really matter. He then admits that he actually wants it. He then pretends that he'd get it if it wasn't so foul, and then he wraps it up with insulting the actual place of
it doesn't exist.
Okay, it does exist because I saw Mikey getting
the
award.
No,
yesterday.
You saw a banquet. So if I wanted to go down to New York City,
yeah,
take my wife, honey, put on your fancy dress.
Sure.
Come off of that mountain. Because we are down to the Broadcaster Hall of Fame.
I remember Hall of Fame is located at Syracuse University.
There you go.
So it's like a wall.
I don't know what it looks like.
So he
like.
Can go and look at his plaque.
Okay.
And by the way, like you're asking if you can go?
And by the way.
You specifically? No, they're not going
to
let you.
You probably have to pay to get into the building, probably. Go see your own plaque.
At Syracuse?
Yeah.
Why?
You can just walk into Syracuse and poking around.
I bet you they
around.
Charge some type of like fee to go
they
look
whack
around.
You. I hear $20 a park.
No, getting in the Hall of Fame.
And you're a mile away.
I wouldn't want the upkeep. Don't even get me started about the water department.
I got to walk past 17 Boeheim statues to see his goofy-ass face on a plaque.
You're such a bitter old man. You're such a bitter man.
Hey, what's that seabag plaque?
I mean, look, I don't know how to nominate people, but there are plenty of folks listening that if
you can nominate me.
I'm not nominating your ass. Why would I nominate you?
All those drinks I bought you.
You didn't. They were comped. You knew the bartender.
On my dime.
On your what? Your no dime?
On my legend.
Look, if somebody thinks you deserve it, they listening now can nominate you. But I ain't doing it. I want to uphold the standard of the broadcast.
So you two have to come down with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I'll go.
Of course. Of course we're going with you.
Sucks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.